Good afternoon, almost evening. It's been a good day full of terrific speakers, top quality every single one of them. My name's Pioneer Pete. I'm the president of the Oregon Sun-Grown Growers Guild. I'm the Omnibudsman. Pioneer Pete's no joke, neither is Omnibudsman, even though we've had to make up some certain terms in order to define what I do and the way the world works right now. We've also seen several bureaucracies and even our state legislature making up words and defining terms in ways that are unique over the last 18 months since the passage of Measure 91. You might be wondering, and it's a fair question to ask, why you have a current and former president of the Oregon Sun-Grown Growers Guild addressing you when it comes to extracts and concentrates. Cedar is a top-notch processor who's been of fantastic benefit to people throughout the medical market for years now, and will be transitioning his business into servicing the adult use market as well. I have literally decades of experience under my belt processing alcohols, oils, butters, waxes. We've done various solventless processes. Most recently, CO2, butane. The necklace that I wear is actually a patient testimonial from back in 2009 when I had a patient whose arthritis and neuropathy and neuralgia was so bad that he couldn't do the bead work that he loved. And the doctor basically gave him a prescription that said, this will take the edge off, but it'll make you pretty much unable to function, so go home, watch soap operas, and wait for your time. He didn't find that to be an adequate answer. He came to where I volunteered my time then at Voter Power and signed up for the OMMP and is my patient. And 6 months later, after using this concentrate that I make, he was able to do this peyote stitch, which is inarguably the most difficult stitch in the world of beadwork. The people at the OSGG know more than a little bit about concentrates and extracts. I actually had somebody ask me recently why they should care about sun-grown because they only smoke indoors. And I said, oh, really? I'm pretty sure that more than 75% of everybody here has had some good sun-grown in the last couple of months, and 95% of us started out on sun-grown whether we knew it or not. And he said, well, you can't tell me that because I only vape. And I said, oh, you mean you have one of these? 2/3 of the cannabis in the state of Oregon is grown within a 50-mile radius of my house, and that's sun-grown, and that's what is in every single one of these. Even the people that don't know they're smoking sun-grown are smoking sun-grown. This is a top-quality CO2 with no flow agents, no additives, nothing else in it, no adulterants. Adulterants are included in the new language as well for processors. Everything has to be on the label, whether you're extracting, concentrating, or you plan on joining those of us in the near future that are going to be compounding. We're on a schedule today. We have another panel coming up before our end of the day feature presentation, so I'm not going to go too far into this, but the bioscience behind this and the chemical science that's involved in this is so deep now, we have proof, among other things, of the entourage effect between cannabinoids and terpenes that are in this plant, and we have another couple of dozen compounds that we just think may affect the way that we process cannabinoids, but it hasn't been thoroughly studied yet. The language as it's written in the law right now does not allow you to adulterate products. However, recombination of cannabinoids and terpenes is legal the way the language is written, and we're going to see a proliferation of products that are not only more targeted towards patients' needs, but more targeted towards adult users' needs as well. I want to address the difference for a second here, because just like Lee's statement that there's really no difference between me making a medical extract or making an adult use extract, there's really no difference between the adult users and the medical users. It's just degrees of use. You talk to any dispensary owner and their adult use clients are coming in asking for things to help with their backaches, asking them for things they can work on during the day, asking them for things they'll help to sleep at night. Those people are all self-medicating, and they have been for a long time. We've just now given them permission to do it legally. And these concentrates, the way the law defines it, is something they'll be able to make for themselves at home in limited quantities with their four adult use plants. But when it comes to the real potent materials, the extracts in the pens, the things that are not arguably more hazardous to produce, they require a level of skill for everybody's safety. Those are going to come from licensed producers, just like they would in any other industry. We will be working with, I hesitate to use the phrase, pharmaceutical grade products in the very near future if we aren't already. The nature of consumption is actually changing because of the abilities that we've reached just in a handful of years under the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program. In the last 18 months, now that use is legal for, by the state's figures, 4 to 5 times more people, we have that much more interest. We'll see, among other things in the near future here, a discussion about reducing the fees for licensing. Wait, he said what? Reducing the fees for licensing? How is that possible? Since when did a regulatory agency ever make it easier on the people that they regulate? I told the OLCC when we got into this, I also served on the Licensing Compliance and Enforcement Committee there, that the numbers that they were looking at were not correct. They estimated too high on the cost per license. They estimated too low on the number of licensees, and I told them so. And they said that I was making numbers up and that they had numbers from real actuarials that were based on other states and division by the population base. And I went, wow, you have numbers from real actuarials. It sounds like you're really making things up now. What do actuarials do? They make numbers up. The numbers aren't any more real just because they came from real actuarials. They were just basically accusing me of being a fake actuarial. I take umbrage at that. Anyway, it turns out that I was right. We're on track for 1,000 licensees in the first 6 months of the year. The review process for licenses they originally proposed to be every other year. I've recommended repeatedly that it be reviewed every year, especially in these initial phases, because this is very volatile. They're looking at collecting $5 million in revenue just from license applicants, and over 200 of those license applicants will be processors and extractors like myself, and that is in the first 6 months of this year. It is a dramatic difference. I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent because we're just talking about a few million dollars here, but I was listening to Lars Larson recently complain that the $40 million we're going to make from marijuana revenue this year isn't that much money and that it wasn't very significant. I really wanted to get on the air and ask him if that meant he thought we should be smoking more pot, but his producer didn't think that was a good idea. So we are changing the nature of consumption, and that is part of the reason that the OLCC's actuarial numbers were off, is because the proliferation of concentrated and dedicated products is higher, and the knowledge of the consumers is higher than it's ever been in the past. That targeted application, whether you're calling it medication or recreation, is something that we're all benefiting from through the extracts and concentrates process. At the end of the day here, it looks like we're going to have about 250 licensees in those categories serving between 400,000 and 500,000 people, and the number will be higher depending on how much tourism business this generates. I'm not trying to give anybody any ideas, but I'm going to guess that some of our neighbors are coming to visit us because we have access to something that they've only dreamed of their entire lives. So we have just a few minutes left for pointed questions from our processors and extractors in the audience, and I'm going to say in closing, I cannot emphasize how important it is to be involved in this process. We have between now and June 3rd to put our comments in. Go to my favorite website, marijuana.oregon.gov, read what they've posted there and comment on it, both your objections and your affirmations. Go to the Oregon Health Authority's website, read what their proposed rules are. Go to your local meeting. We're having them in Bend, Eugene, Medford, and Portland over the course of the next 4 weeks. Voice your concerns. Do it twice. Do it before they reveal the final draft rules on May 25th, and do it a second time before the end of the comment period on June 3rd. The comments you put in before May 25th will be comments that they use in the proposed draft. The comments we put in after May 25th are our objections to the proposed draft. And if you want to see something like me being charged twice as much, or Cedar being charged twice as much, you want to see that being prevented, we got to get those comments in, and when they ignore them, we have to re-comment on them in order for it to work. Otherwise, we're going to be stuck with these rules for another year or two. And if you don't know this yet, let me tell you, businesses don't pay taxes. People pay taxes. Every additional expense you put onto the producers and processors is ultimately paid by the end user, bar none. Keep our costs down and allow us to be responsible and do what we're good at, and we'll provide top quality, affordable products for all of the state of Oregon. Thank you.